Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We continue to make our way through the first chapter of the book of Revelation. I decided to look at the book of Revelation and walk through it this week and partly next week. The first sections here, chapter 1, talking about the revelation of the person of Jesus, and then chapter 2 and 3, Jesus' message to seven churches. And this first part I've been focusing on. If you didn't have a chance, by the way, to tune into the program this week, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. You can listen to the programs there. You can download them on your computer, download them on whatever device you'd like to listen to them at your leisure. Best thing to do is just get the Renewal Ministries app. Just download it. Everything we produce is accessible to you on that app. You can listen to the programs, mine, this program, Fire in the Earth, Sister Ann Shields, Food for the Journey, our television programs, Choices We Face, Crossing the Goal, and other things. You can listen to them at your leisure, so you don't have to listen to it so early in the morning. Also, the Ave Maria app would be worth downloading as well. All the great programs that are produced here at Ave Maria are also accessible to you any time of the day. So just getting to making way about halfway through this first chapter of the book of Revelation in verse 8. John, the writer of the book of Revelation, is now says the following, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. He's the beginning and the end. He's the origin and the destiny." That means he's your origin and he's your destiny. What's being revealed, and so much has been revealed already in this short first chapter of who God is, what God is like, who's Jesus. The title, as I mentioned many times, the Revelation, taken from the Greek word apokalypsis, which means can mean the unveiling. And what's being unveiled in this letter is, first of all, God's plan for these seven churches. It's a Christian book of Christian prophecy, but also God's ultimate victory over evil in the final reign of his son, Jesus. And in that is an unveiling of the man who's actually behind the plan, of Jesus who's going to bring it all about with his power, authority, and glory. So now in verse 9, John begins to talk about a vision of Christ that he had. It says, "I, John, your brother, who share with you in Jesus the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance, was on the island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, 'Write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamum, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea.'" These are seven churches in Asia Minor, which is today Turkey. They're all pretty close to each other, and they're churches that John was pastoring. And so he's celebrating the Lord's Day, that's the Sunday, and he's in prayer. And while he's in prayer, in the spirit of the Lord's Day, he basically hears, it's beautiful the way he puts it. You know, he said, "On the island called Patmos, on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day," that he was in a spirit of prayer, and the Holy Spirit began to speak to him. Yesterday, we celebrated the Annunciation, and the Holy Spirit was upon Mary. The angel Gabriel came and said all that Gabriel was revealing to her was possible because the Holy Spirit was overshadowing her. It's the mission of the Holy Spirit in union with the Father and the Son. The Holy Spirit is the first missionary of the church's evangelistic mission for the salvation of the world, you might say, because the Holy Spirit's first mission is to reveal God's plan and purpose, to reveal the majesty and glory of Jesus to every human heart. And the Holy Spirit is guiding John, this good shepherd, helping him lead his churches in a very difficult situation. Those churches were situated in the Roman Empire, an empire that had its own imperial religious cult that demanded that people conform to it. It was pagan. And Christians, these young Christian communities couldn't conform to what was demanded of citizens. Even though citizens may not have believed all that the emperor cult was all about, people conformed to get along, to be able to continue to climb the ladder if need be within the culture. You had to acknowledge that the emperor was a demigod or a god of some kind, and that he was Lord. And Christians knew that he wasn't Lord, and so they were in constant tension with the government that was requiring people to burn incense to the emperor, to declare him as Lord. Even if you didn't believe it, people would do it. But they wouldn't do it. Christians couldn't do it, even though they weren't powerful people. They didn't know a lot of high people in high places in those days. They knew they were living under the lordship and majesty of Jesus, and that Rome's imperial cult was an offense to God, and it was a lie. And so it put them in conflict and difficulty with the powers that be. So again, going back to verse 9, I, John, your brother, who share with you in Jesus the tribulation. So Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulations. Be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. We saw in the life of Jesus himself that tribulation in this world is the norm for Christians, for disciples of Jesus. And we could see throughout history, especially those who were most conformed to the person of Jesus, the kind of trial and tribulation that so many of them went through. And the 20th century was a century of more martyrs in the 20th century than any time in history. And that kind of thing continues today. The Western world, which for a long time was friendly to Christianity, was formed and shaped. You know, Christendom was formed and shaped by Christianity. That's now gone. It's collapsed, as St. John Paul II said. It's no more. And what we're seeing is a new kind of pagan religion, a neo-pagan worldview that's emerging. There's new dogmas and new demands on people. And part of what doesn't fit in the new system, in the new religious system, you might say, is the teaching of Jesus, or aspects of the teaching of Jesus. And what really doesn't fit is the total authority and rule and reign of God. And so the conflict is intensifying in our time. So Jesus said, we share with you in Jesus the tribulation. So John says, we're sharing in that as we shared it with Jesus. And Jesus is in us. Do you remember when Paul on the road to Damascus was knocked to the ground and Jesus said to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And Paul was shocked, like, what do you mean? Well, Jesus is united with his body. And to persecute his body is to persecute Jesus and the reign and the plan and the purpose of Jesus. So John is saying we have a communion in this tribulation. And he goes on and says, and also in the kingdom and the patient endurance. So we're in the kingdom of God together. We're baptized into Christ, the King. We're united to the head, which means we're living under the rule and the reign of that King. And that kingdom is present in us and in the church. It's imperfectly present in us because we are responding imperfectly to him, but nonetheless, that kingdom has laid hold of us. And now the whole purpose of our lives in following the footsteps of Jesus is to live out what we're being taught. And we'll see what John teaches with the Lord's help, the seven churches, and how the Lord assesses where they are, their spiritual condition. It's very insightful because it'll help us understand how to look at our own lives and our parishes, our dioceses, our families. And then finally he says, and he shares with you the patient endurance. It's a very important two words there, patient endurance. It's part of what gets expressed throughout the book of Revelation one way or another, that the key in this world is to endure to the end. It's those who endure to the end that will receive the crown. And the devil's strategy, and one of the great temptations, is to just at some point give up. To give up, to give in, to draw back, to choose a level of lukewarmness or whatever. Say, I don't want to resist anymore. I don't want to live more so consciously in the kingdom. I want to get along. I want people to leave me alone. I don't want to lose my status or, you know, the spiritual life. This stuff is difficult. The rest of it. So it requires patience and it requires endurance. So John is living that out and he's saying, I'm sharing this with you, right? So the Spirit tells him to write to these seven churches. And then he begins to see who it is who's speaking to him. In verse 12, he said, then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. And on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands. Okay, these are the seven churches. And in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man. It's a title that's in the book of Daniel and others that's often Jesus refers to himself this way, that he's the Messiah, that he's the Lord. These lampstands represent the seven churches. And it's beautiful to see who stands in the midst of the seven churches, the Son of Man. Jesus said, I am with you always until the end of the age. And before John instructs the churches, and he's a pastor who probably has real deep concern for the churches and the struggles that they're against, and feels powerless himself to be able to do anything about it, and wants to know, what's the best way to lead? What do I do? And what's the answer for the conflicts and the situation that we're living in? What the book of Revelation does, one of the things, fundamental things and fundamental truths that it teaches us, is that we won't have an answer for the specific situations of the church and the challenges we're facing until we first see clearly who's with us. Till we see Jesus, till we understand what it means that he's with us, and we understand who he is, and what he thinks about us, and the kind of relationship and promise that he's made to us. That becomes the source of so much strength, discernment, courage, faith, fear of the Lord, all the stuff that the church needs to face the tribulations with patient endurance. So again, John says, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands, one like the Son of Man. He was clothed in a long robe and with a golden sash across his chest. So he's describing what he sees, and each one of these descriptions has described some dimension of the person of Christ and who he is. And so again, we're saying the unveiling here of the greatness and the glory and majesty of Jesus. The long robe, it's kind of the long robe of the high priest. Jesus is the great high priest who stands before the Father, and he makes an offering and sacrifice for our behalf, for our salvation. He's the one alone who's made the offering that cleanses the human race from the power of sin and death and purifies us. And the golden sash is a sign of his authority. Across his chest. He has full authority, full power. The Father has given over to him everything. And his hair were white as wool, white as snow. His hair was white as wool. I'm getting more white hair. It's interesting. As I get older, the Old Testament, the book of Daniel, chapter 7, talks about God as the Ancient of Days. His hair is white as wool. It talks about his eternity and his infinite wisdom. It says his eyes were flaming fire. He had penetrating vision. He can discern the right from the wrong, and he makes judgments. You know, there's nothing that escapes the gaze of Jesus. There's no faking him out. There's no capacity to hide from him. He sees his people. He sees his church. And with eyes flaming fire, he makes discernment, and he makes judgment about what needs to happen for us to be aligned with God and to remove everything in us that hinders love, that hinders what he wills for us and his desire. And the model he himself gave for us is he's refined in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of many waters. Like, think of, I remember Dr. Peter Williamson in his really good commentary on Revelation, which I would highly recommend to you. He said it was like, think of Niagara Falls when you're there, that just the power, the sheer power is what John is describing here. In his right hand, he held the seven stars. Also represent the churches or leaders of the churches in different ways. Where is the church? It's in the hand of God. Where are the leaders who are faithfully leading the people of God? They're in the hands of God. Where are you as a disciple, as a child of God? You're in the hand of the living God, and he will never let you go. He wants you to know who he is and how much he loves you. I want to continue this tomorrow, friends. I hope you can join me. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.